Praise the Lord. Well, Bill Lawson was telling me today, the book of Colossians is not an easy book. And I think that's true. This is a very deep book. On the one hand, presents to us a lot of truth. But this book is also a book full of experience. And a lot of times, you don't usually see those two together. But here we have both objective truth and subjective experience. So, for instance, if you look on your verse sheet in chapter 1, the verses we read tonight, I think we all could testify this is our experience. Verse 12. We all give thanks to the Father. He has qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Actually, it's probably one of the best things is to be among the saints in the light. Amen. And we have been qualified. Actually, I really like that hymn. We'll hardly ever sing it. But it's a very good hymn. If you look over it sometime on your own, basically it says that, you know, the saints, we're the same as people in the world. We have the same, let's say, pains and scars of all those in Adam's race. You know, so basically, we're human beings. We have to sleep. We have to eat. We have to go through daily life. We go through sufferings and trials and all kinds of things, the same as everyone else in the world. But there's something different about the saints. And that is, I think one verse says that we treasure what those with earthly eyes despise. Right? Or maybe it's the other way around. We despise what earthly eyes esteem. You know, what some might feel is so valuable, so important. I think this was shared recently in some of the trainings. Our value system is being changed. Amen. Right? We're beginning to treasure some divine and eternal things. Right? So, anyway, one thing we treasure is that we have a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Then verse 13, whether you realize this or not, whether you grew up in the church life or not, you might not realize this, but this is a fact. We were all delivered out of the authority of darkness. And also, we were transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, anyway, tonight, we come to chapter 3. On the verses, the first four verses we just enjoyed together. And that is a different kind of life that we have. And this is the life that we're talking about that seeks different things. So, anyway, tonight, Robbie and I would like to share mainly along what kind of life this is. Of course, you could say the Bible says it's Christ. Christ is our life. Right, but this is a little more descriptive in that number one, this is a seeking life. We're seeking the things that are above. Number two, this is a hidden life. And we want to get into that. What does it mean that this is a hidden life? And number three, you might not think about it, but actually the verse we just read in chapter 1 says we were transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So what is this? This life is a kingdom life. Okay? Then number 4, this life is a rooted life. And we want to get into that and find out why this is so crucial that we have a rooted life. Okay, and then number 5, we might not like this one. This is a tested life. Okay? And it's a little more than just memorizing. Right? This life goes through a lot of tests. Okay? And it will be manifested. What kind of life that we have or what kind of life that we possess. Then number six, and this is an important one also, this is a trusting life. Okay, let's start at the first one. Actually, Robbie and I fellowship today. I think we both enjoyed all of these. So it's hard to just get into one of them. They're all so enjoyable, right? All six of them. But actually, okay, let's start with the first one, the seeking life. Here it says, we were talking about this in the meal line tonight. So verse 1 says, if therefore you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So like Bill Lawson was telling us this afternoon, what is the third heavens, or where is the third heavens? All we can say for sure, it's above, right? We are seeking the things where the throne is, where Christ is, where he's interceding, where he's standing at the right hand of God. It's in the heavens. We are seeking the things which are above. Well, you consider even this life that we have, even the Lord himself was quite a seeker, right? He sought to do the Father's will. He was always seeking the Father speaking. In fact, Robbie is just telling me he was once seeking the lost sheep. He was a seeker, right? So how about us? We have a life that we have received that seeks the things which are above. So, you know, this week we've been fellowshipping every morning about our morning time with the Lord. And I think this has been really enjoyable to hear all the different brothers sharing little portions on basically this particular aspect of having a seeking. But I think still there's something that needs to be developed in us. It's too easy to have a morning revival like this. And just, you know, if you close your eyes and you're having a morning revival, we don't know if you're sleeping or you're praying. good chance you might just be sleeping, right? Well, anyway, I think the main point is, are you seeking? Right? Are you seeking when we come to the Lord in the morning? Right? We need to seek the things which are above. Kelly was telling me a couple of verses. You know, there was one time when the Lord was about ready to be born, or maybe he already had been born, when Herod was around, and he heard about the prophecy concerning the birth of the Messiah, or the coming king of the Jews. And it says he was seeking that he might kill this one. So I think there was something motivating, or something in him to find this one. Then, of course, that's very negative. But there's a positive one. Mary. You think about Mary after the Lord died and they buried him. She was at the graveside and she found it was empty. And eventually the angel came and asked her, who are you seeking, or whom are you seeking? Right? She had a heart to really seek after the Lord. So anyway, I was touched with this. We need to seek the things which are above. So on one hand, yes, we're coming to the Lord in the morning. We're just enjoying. We're just reading the Word. We're just pray reading. We're calling on the Lord's name. We're absorbing the riches. But sometimes, like we talked about, sometimes maybe you get stuck where you just feel like, that's it. But those times we need to seek for the Lord. And seek the things which are above. Anyway, you know, one thing about seeking quite often goes along with an appetite. And I remember reading once an article a portion by Watchman Nee. You know what he said? The worst condition a believer can get into is indifference. He said, if you become indifferent to the Lord, it's as if you are sick. Right? Actually, I saw this. You know, I told you this afternoon, my father recently passed away. One thing I saw in his last week or two, he just completely lost his appetite. And I knew when I saw that, he was not going to have too long. So having an appetite is crucial. If you lose your appetite physically, there's something wrong. Usually you're sick, right? Well, maybe you are sick, maybe after a few days, but you can tell when you're getting healthy is when your appetite comes back, right? So how about spiritually? Sometimes, actually, we lose our appetite. And just like when you get sick, you don't know how it happened. You don't know what you did. Maybe you ate something bad or whatever, okay? Okay, maybe even spiritually, sometimes you don't know why, but you just lost your appetite. You just don't seem to have a heart to seek, to hunger. So even then, it's very good even to tell the Lord, Lord, increase my appetite, right? Deal with whatever is hindering my appetite. Give me a seeking after you that I might seek the things which are above. Well, one thing I know, my own personal experience, if I get up in the morning, you know, I like to check email and check the headline news and, you know, things like that. If I dare turn my computer on before I have a time with the Lord, it's almost over, you know, because there are the things which are above and there are the things on the earth, right? And most of us, we happen to live on this earth, and it's very easy for all of us to get totally immersed on the things on the earth, right? We live in a physical body with physical senses. We have a psychological being that always is, like Bill was saying this afternoon, is thinking, considering what I need to do today and all these things. So our tendency as a human being living on the earth is to be very earth-focused. And like one of the brothers read the other night, I think it was Mike, about that bent-over woman. What a description of fallen man. All they can see are things on the earth, right? So we need the Lord to heal us, cause us to look up, to be brought up. You know, if we have a, if our Bible reading is totally boring, totally uninteresting, and if we say, I get nothing out of this, well, that may be the case, but I would say that's a sick condition, right? We should pray, Lord, you have to speak to me in the Word. You have to open the Word to me. You have to make the Word living to me, right? That I would touch you in the Word, that the things above would begin to call up my heart from the things on the earth. Anyway, this is the kind of life that we received as a seeking life. Okay, tonight mainly we want to get into this matter of the hidden life. You know, in verse 2, let's see, or verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Actually, I was asking Robbie, I think one of the older versions said your true life is hidden with Christ in God. Why is it your true life? Because that's the real life. It's the only life that is real. Okay? So your true life is hidden. Where is it hidden? It's hidden with Christ in God. So I was thinking, okay, here's Marty. That's my life. But it says your life is hidden. Well, first of all, whoops. Robbie keeps reminding me, I died. Okay. But somehow, like Galatians, you're crucified. It's no longer you that live. but now you, but yet you're living. Don't ask me how that happens. But here it says, your life, I better read the verse. For you died and your life is hidden. Where's it hidden? It's hidden with Christ. Okay? So it's you and Christ. We are joined to the Lord. We're one spirit with him. He's with us. He's Emmanuel. Right? The Lord is with our spirit. So our life is hidden with Christ. First of all, it's dead. We died, and our life now is hidden with Christ. Okay, that's there, but it's in God. Our life is with Christ in God. Okay? Where else is it? It's in the heavens. Where else is it? It's in the church. If you read the excerpts, you find out these are all. That's where our life is. Our life is hidden with Christ in God, in the heavens, in the church. Okay? So, here's the opposite. This is the way our life should be. The opposite is actually, it's more like this. Or you could put your own initial there, or you could just use that M for me. Okay? So what is this? This is the natural man. This is the self. When you are not in the crucified life, when you're not with Christ, when you're not in God, when you're not hidden in the heavens. You know, verse 1 says, we are raised together with Christ. Where are we? We are in the heavens. We have been raised together with Christ. We are seated above. Okay, so we're in the heavens. We also can say we're in the church. If we're in this realm, everything's fine. If we're out of this realm, it's just me. Okay? And then you're not too hidden. In fact, you're not hidden at all. Okay? And there's a big difference. The opposite of a hidden life, you could say, is versus the natural life. And what is the natural life? The natural life is just the life of old Adam. And this life does not like to be hidden. It likes to be seen. In fact, not just be seen, it likes to put on a show, right? And it likes to be exposed, even advertised, right? To be public. Let everyone see, okay? And basically, one word you could use here for the natural life, the natural life is always seeking its own glory. Okay? That's quite the opposite of this life. This life is hidden. This life is crucified. Now, it's really interesting. If you read the verse, it says in chapter 3, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But look at verse 4. Something's going to take place in the future. When? It says, when Christ, our life, is manifested. When will that be? That will be when the Lord returns. When the Lord comes back, Christ, our life, will be manifested. Then what? Then you also will be manifested with him in glory. So, there will be a time in the future. In fact, the Bible talks about there will be a revelation of the sons of God. So like this hymn says, people in the world, they look at you. It's nothing special. You're the same as anybody else walking around on this campus, right? If you go to work on a job, you're just another human being on the job. You're nobody special. You could tell them, I'm a God man. They might say, well, that's nice. But they don't see it, right? You might come to the church meeting and you might see a little bit, like tonight when we were prayer reading, I think I saw a little bit of glory shining, okay? But I don't think the unbelievers see it. They don't see it. Okay? And even actually, a lot of times we don't even see it. It's hidden. Where's life? Where is Christ, your life? Where is it? Okay? It's mysterious. It's in the heavens. Right? So, it's a hidden life. But the Bible does say, if you read actually this book of Colossians talks a lot about, we have a hope. We have a hope of glory. One day, this life, which is growing in us now, will grow to the full. And one day, will not only transform us, but even transfigure our bodies. And then there will be a full manifestation, a revelation of the sons of God. Okay? But that is not today. So today, what? We're in the hidden stage. Okay? And most brothers talk about this. Oh, when will I be made manifest? Right? You know, the other day I mentioned there's a verse in, I think it's in Timothy, where Paul said, if you practice these things, your progress will be made manifest to all. Okay? So, how about in the church life? Today. Okay, Aaron? Let's say today you're growing as a brother in the church life. You're pursuing the Lord. You're learning to be nourished, to be equipped with the word, with the truth. You're growing in life. And you're learning even how to serve, how to shepherd others, and go on. Okay? Eventually, according to the Bible, there will be a manifestation, which is a normal manifestation. Just like children growing up in a family, eventually they just grow up and eventually it's manifest. It's manifest. They're an adult, right? And they can function and live as an adult, okay, as a mature person. Okay, but that's one thing. That's a kind of normal, healthy manifestation that takes place in not only in the human life, but in the Christian life and in the church life. But there's a kind of seeking for manifestation that is not proper, where it's just seeking. Basically, it starts to go back to this realm here. When am I going to be manifest? So more or less is when am I going to be seen and heard by others? And basically, can be on display. So this is something fallen. This is something corrupt, right? And this is something, if you read the excerpts, that is, Christianity is full of this kind of thing, where eventually the seeking is not back up here, where you're seeking in a pure way for Christ, seeking for the things above, seeking for the Lord, seeking for the Lord's interest, for his way in others, for the church. Eventually your seeking can turn to, when will I be manifested in the church? When will the brothers all recognize that I have such a big portion of Christ that everybody in the whole recovery needs to see? You can say that is fallen. That is corrupt. But that is really what Christianity is full of. Advertising, big show, big public display of the natural man. And that is self-glory. And that is not the glory that one day will be manifested when the Lord will return. So, in the meantime, what should we do? We're living a hidden life, but yet we're in the church life, right? And in the church life, we need to pray, we need to serve, okay? Like even in all service, even like tonight, cleaning the tables afterwards, okay? You can't clean the tables and hide underneath the table, right? It's somewhat manifest when you're serving, when you're preaching the gospel. You know, it might be manifest. When you stand up and prophesy, saints are going to see you. So how do we live a hidden life but still function in the church life? Well, it's not easy. Do we stand up and prophesy for all to see, for all to see? Or do we stand up in the church life like this? I died. Where am I? I'm with Christ. I'm in God. I'm in the heavens. I'm in the church. Yes, I'm functioning, but I don't function in a way to be glorified, to be seen by man, to be advertised, to put on a show, right? But we will, and we all will be exposed, and sometimes we will be touched by the Lord. Was that prophecy something out of your crucified life with Christ in God? Or was that something of your own self-glory? Anyway, we can't get into analyzing, but once in a while, the Lord might touch us. We need to repent of this natural life and live in the hidden life that we have in Christ. Okay. All right, let's come to the kingdom life. Let's look at a couple of verses real quick. In Matthew chapter 6. Okay, let's just read 1 through 6. How about the sisters? You start with verse 1. You read the odd verses. Brothers, read the even verses. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6. Okay, sisters, you start. Okay, brothers. Okay, these verses are so precious in really showing what a contrast between a hidden life and the natural life. And why do we call it the kingdom life? This book, Matthew, is a book on the kingdom. And the Lord basically in these chapters is showing us what kind of life, what kind of nature is the kingdom life? What kind of nature do the kingdom people, what kind of nature should they have? And here it's described in a very clear way. Either we have the kingdom life or we have the life of a hypocrite. And what is a hypocrite? Hypocrite is someone who has the appearance outwardly but lacks any reality inwardly. So I think we all are clear, and maybe different times we've been touched by the Lord. This is hypocrisy, to have an outward appearance that you are somebody or that you are doing something more than what your inward reality is. So here in these verses, verse 1, take heed not to do your righteousnesses before men. So that's your deeds, your doings. When we do things, when we serve, when we help others, is it in order to be gazed at by others? If it is, the Lord said, we have no reward with the Father who is in the heavens. So you might do something today that is really appreciated, that is seen by others, and that is really honored, and others may really, well, pat you on the back, and, wow, you are so good, you are so kind, you are so helpful, you are so this and so that, and what'd you say? Could you repeat that? Yeah. make sure everyone hears I'm so helpful, I'm so kind, I'm so considerate. Right? It's just to be gazed at by men. Right? Then the Bible says you have your reward. If that's what you are seeking, then you have it. You got your reward. You got appreciated by men. But you will miss the real reward from the Father. Then how about the giving of alms? You know, my wife used to work at Northwestern in the office that raises funds for the university. And she told me, actually, that the people in that office, it was really a very fancy way of begging, you know, for money. And they would go to these really wealthy people around the country and seek their money. But quite often, these people maybe would consider giving their money, of course, if you put their name on the building, right? You can build a building. I'll pay for the building, but just put my name right up on top of the building, right, or on top of the stadium. So this is the way of the world, right, is to give, and you have your immediate reward every time everyone walks into the football stadium. They all see your name right there over the stadium. So this should not be the way it is among the kingdom people. And this is not the kind of life that we received. And this is not the kind of practice we should have in the church life. Our giving is so amazing. Have you ever tried to have your right hand not know what the left hand is doing? You know, it's pretty difficult, right? But actually, I really appreciate in the church life, if you are giving a gift, you know, it's so sweet once in a while to have some new ones come and ask, where is the offering box, right? Because actually our offering box in the churches, I don't know if all the churches are like this, but our offering box, you know, it's hidden. It's in the wall, you know. Of course, you know, once in a while we remind one another where the offering box is. But basically, it shouldn't be, you know, oh, saints, there's a need for a new hall somewhere. Oh, okay. You know, let me see. Yeah. Where's the offering box? Anyway, to have a life that's hidden is so sweet. To not even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. How do you do that? You know, to be so quiet, not letting others know. You know, but there's a tendency in Christianity. The bigger the gift given by a donor, the more recognition is given to that person. My wife told me once, when she was growing up, her family was not very well-to-do, and they used to go to this church, and once a year, the church would put a list out of all the contributions made by all the people in the church that year. And they would put Mr. So-and-so, da-da-da, you know, so many thousands, you know. And then they would go down the list, down the list, down the list, down the list. It just so happened her dad's name was at the very bottom of the list. Okay, guess what? He never went back to that place again, right? In fact, he was not very open to the gospel after that either, right? So actually, this is a testimony of Babylon, you know, that people would do that kind of thing. And it's also a testimony that believers, when we preach the gospel or we have a special kind of meeting, would never ask. Even the Lord told us, don't ask people for money, right? And even those serving in the church should not make known their needs to others. Anyway, we should live a hidden kind of life a kingdom life, and our giving should be done in a hidden way, right? So these matters should really touch us. This is the kind of life that we have above. We shouldn't be sounding a trumpet that we may be glorified by men, but we desire to have, like verse 4, that our alms may be in secret, that the Father who sees in secret will repay you. So actually, even the Lord saw one time in the, I think it was in the temple, right, the giving that was going on among those who were there. And actually, it was not a matter of who gave the most or the least. Actually, it was the one he recognized was probably the one who gave the least, right? But, you know, the Lord sees in a little different way than we see. Man, the natural man in the self sees all the big dollars. But the Lord sees the heart of the giver and really appreciated that one who gave even the small amount when she was giving her all. So our giving should be to the Lord and should be in secret. Okay, then the fasting, same way, is not to go around, oh, why are you looking so bad? Oh, I've been fasting. Or Marty, where were you last 4 hours? I was praying. Anyway, that is not a hidden life, right? If you're hidden, be hidden. You want to fast? Fast before the Lord, right? You don't have to go tell everybody. If we pray, we should pray in secret. The Lord says, go home, go to your private room, close the door, right? Basically, nobody needs to see, right? So anyway, we need to practice this kind of life. And this is the kind of life that we have. It's a kingdom life. So our deeds, our fasting, our prayer, and our giving should all be in secret. Anyway, these are other kinds of descriptions of this kind of life that we receive. I think Robbie will get into it. But this life that we have, you know, I just like to testify one thing. This life will be tested. And we are fellowshipping a little bit about this. It's so encouraging on the one hand to see all of us here together. But Robbie and I were talking today. You know what? If you've been around for a little while, you begin to realize, you know what? It's in my, you know, I'm not that old, but I've been around for a little while. You know, in my time in the church life, I have seen probably 3 or 4 major storms in the church life. And what happens with storms, a lot of times things happen and there's a shaking that goes on, okay? And a lot of trouble that comes to you. And what happens is Satan can utilize different things that come to us with the one objective of uprooting us and getting us away from the Lord and away from our enjoyment of Christ and away from our experience of the enjoyment of Christ in the church life. Right? So, what will keep us? What will preserve us? Actually, I was telling Robbie, Benjamin told us years ago, I remember he shared this, the only thing that will keep young people in the church life through all these kind of testings is that we have a life that is rooted in Christ and has deep roots. Anyway, Robbie will share some more about this.
I like to draw a picture of a tree. You know, Hosea really speaks about God's people being like a tree, cedar tree. And I'm going to just draw a picture of a tree. And let's say the tree is like this. Well, actually, it's way too big. That's too showy. I go like this. And then here's the trunk. Okay. And then here's the soil. Okay. And then here is the, to say, roots. You know, in Colossians, we are told here, it says, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, is it? 6 and 7, sorry. Here it says, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established in the faith, even as you are taught with thanksgiving. This life we received is, on the one hand, our brother put it, it's a hidden life. It's a kingdom life, right? This life is hidden, and we're hidden with Christ in God. But this life is also a rooted life. The life we have, and the Christian life, and the church life, are mainly not the things we do outwardly. In fact, many among us, including church kids, including other saints, really thought that the church life were the things we were doing and the meetings you were going to. But that is not really the church life. And that's not really our life. Our life is hidden. We died. And the Bible says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. This is hidden. This is a life that is not seen. It is a life that's not that obvious. In fact, it is mysterious. In fact, we, the believers, are very mysterious. It's very hard to know what's really going on with us. Have you ever had people look at you and cannot figure out what's going on with you? You know, when people are with us, they shouldn't be able to size us up. Boom. Okay, that's what you are. If that's that easy, that means really our life is not that. But the real life, the life we are speaking about, is a hidden life. It is divine. It is spiritual. It is hidden. It is altogether a life that has passed through so many tests. It is resurrected, right? It has been tried, and it's hidden. It's a life that cannot be seen by the naked eye. And this is the life we're speaking about tonight. We died, and our life has been hidden with Christ in God. And it says, as you have therefore received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him. But we walk in him having been rooted. First, we are being rooted in him. Right? We were planted in him. We have been rooted in him. And then we are being built up in him. How do we walk? What is our real life? Our real life and living in Christ begins with our being rooted in him. You see? So to be rooted, and I have to give you this illustration. A cedar tree, the cedar tree spoken about in Hosea, is a tree that is a very solid tree. And with every meter of growth outwardly that you can see, there are 3 meters that go deep down. The roots go very deep with this type of tree. So that means you may see 1 meter, but 3 meters have gone down. Then you have 5 meters, and then how many? Let's do math. How many have gone down? 15. Okay, how about 25? 75 meters deep. And that means that this is actually very much like this. It's like two-thirds, and this is one-third. That's how much more our life is hidden. It's the majority of our life is hidden. The majority of our real truth is actually hidden. It is not manifested into the eyes of others. So, and let me say something about being rooted. It says, having been rooted, and you know, roots are interesting. There are older roots, and then there are newer roots. And roots do what? They go deep down into the soil. They collect water and minerals. And in order to do that in an effective way, they constantly have to be putting out new roots. You know what new roots are? Root hairs. They're the skin of the root. And from that skin, root hairs go out, and they actually do more absorption. They absorb more water, and they bring in more minerals. And you know what? Why they do that? The older roots eventually become the storage containers. This is the strategy of a plant. They have to store all the fatness, you could say. It's actually carbohydrates, which means starch, right? Okay, they store up. And they do this scientifically in order to handle stress and drought and problems. So let's say out here you have lightning. You see? Lightning comes one day. And then one day it's all sunny, right? Here's the sun. Apparently that's okay. Then there's wind, you know, blowing. And then what else? Earthquake, cracking up, you know, the soil. And then tornado comes, you see? And all the leaves are blown everywhere. So while that's going on all up here, down here, everything is just fine. You see? You cannot control here. You can't control the environment. Paul tells the Thessalonians that we are appointed for afflictions. He told them that. You will suffer. You will have hard times. And actually, he sent Timothy to see how they were doing, because they had received the gospel with joy, you see? But he came because they were so concerned. Paul was so concerned. He wanted to see if any of them had been stumbled, because Satan may try to use all the trials as the tempter to just discourage them. It's not a matter if, it's a matter when. So our life, we, the believers, I have to tell you honestly and faithfully, has to be a rooted life. We need to go deep into Christ. We need to spend time in a private situation where we have some private, secret, special fellowship with the Lord. I can testify, when I was a young brother, I was at Case Western Reserve, and I was working in a particular department, and this department had a back room. It was interesting, and there was like catacombs in there. And I actually, that catacomb was my secret place. And I went there, and I kneeled down, and I prayed and had lots of conversations, lots of experiences that I have never spoken about, because they were just for me. Do you know that the Lord has some experiences for you that are just for you? You may never tell one person, but they become the factor why you weather all the storms, all the situation, the environment, right? You cannot control the environment. You know, in Luke, or is it Mark? If you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 17, could someone find that? Here it is. It says, verse 16 speaks about, and likewise, these are the ones being sown on rocky places who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, right? We preach the gospel. Some people receive it with joy. And verse 17, yet they have no root in themselves, but last only for a time. When affliction or persecution occurs because of the word, immediately they are stumbled. They cannot stand the test. You know, we cannot control above the soil, but you can exercise to seek the Lord always, to go deep. Right now, while you're young, go deep in the Lord. Spend time to tell the Lord that you love him. Spend time to be kissed by the Lord. Spend time to go deep into the Lord, to seek him, to allow him to speak to you, to allow him to give something to you that is just for you, that it strengthens your faith. And nobody knows, nobody was there. And I will tell you something, the Lord is the most real when no one is there. And nobody knows. Soon as everybody knows, it's gone, it's over. But when you're by yourself with the Lord and nobody sees, nobody knows, you know what you get? You get the Lord. He reveals himself to you. He is so sweet there. He is so accessible there. You know, there's a verse in Corinthians that says, I think it's chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. It says that, let me read it. Can someone read that verse real quick? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Let me ask you something. Is it more important that you know God, or is it more important that he knows you? How would you answer such a question? You know, to love the Lord, you have to spend time with him. We cannot fool anyone on this point, can we? Either we love him, we spend time with him, and the more we do, guess what? The Lord knows you. Does the Lord know you? It all depends on if you spend time with him. It all depends on if we spend time secretly with him, to be rooted in him, to go deep in him, to enjoy him. I have to tell you, many times, by God's mercy, I was helped as a young brother to have a personal, intimate time with the Lord. To be personal, to be intimate, to tell the Lord that you love him, to tell the Lord that you need him, to open everything to him. The more you open, the more the Lord opens to you. Don't expect the Lord to open to you if you don't spend time to open to him. We should have certain prayers. We should have certain openness to the Lord that maybe in your Christian life, no one will ever know. Your husband will never know. Your wife will never know. Your children will never know what you spoke to the Lord and what the Lord spoke to you, what the Lord gave you. Eventually, this is what bears you. I tell you, you need new roots. Where's this brother in the green shirt? Can you come up here, please? Let me show you what it looks like. Do you notice he has a hairy arm? You know, this, his arm is like the root. And these hairs, they're like the fine hairs growing out, collecting, and absorbing. This is what we should be doing all the time. We should be storing in these older roots. These little hairs need to become, down the road, they need to become the older roots. Right? Andrew tells you to fellowship with the older brothers. Well, hopefully the older brothers have a lot of storage. Have a lot of Christ. Not just a bunch of knowledge. You see? So these hairs are like the ones collecting everything. Storing everything. Absorbing. How about that? This is why you're so hairy to give this example. You see? All of our root, thank you, brother, the root should have a lot of root hairs. And that means a lot of specific prayers and fellowship and seeking. How seeking are we? How seeking you are depends on how many root hairs you develop. It just grows out of the root. And those absorb and take in the Lord. You see? And so up here, there are storms. Let me tell you. Here it says, as you have therefore received Christ as the Lord, walk in him. And then a little bit later it says, beware! Beware! Unless anyone carries you off as spoil. Spoil is a warlike term. You know? Beware! Satan has declared war against you. All of us young people, we have to beware. What should we be doing? Rooting, going deep, every day counting, every morning getting up and telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. You know what I'm saying? I have all kinds of arguments with the Lord, all kinds of fellowship with the Lord. I force the Lord to do something with me. I had to. In your seeking of the Lord, you have to speak to him until the Lord becomes so real to you, until you get some answer from the Lord. You keep speaking and speaking. Many times I argue with the Lord. This is all in private. I can say this part. It was all in private. There are certain things that happen, certain situations happen to you. I said, Lord, how is this good for your economy? How is this good for you? How is this good for the church? I did all kind of things. But you know what the Lord did? He gave me an answer. That answer is what gets me through everything. Do you have any answers from the Lord? We, the believers, should never be those who don't know him. We should know him. And so here, I'll just give you an example. Marty talks about rebellions. The rooted life is all beneath the earth. And the rooting goes on and on and on. And there's old roots and there's new roots. Eventually they become older. They store all the water. They store all the carbohydrates in. And they are there to what? Be there as the supply for what? The stress and all the trials, afflictions, and harsh weather. Sometimes it doesn't rain here. What are you going to do? Sometimes the sun is so hot, and it hasn't rained in a long time, and it's heat. You could say this is persecution. Sometimes we go through things in the church life, big disappointments, sometimes tragedies. Sometimes we lose our parents. Someone dies. Tragedies like you would not believe. We saw brothers in a big rebellion. It was the biggest disappointment. Big disappointment. Some of us brothers that we knew from we were 19, 18 years old, they're all gone today. How do you take that? Some of you here, you may not even be alive 5 years from now. We have no idea what this will bring. We only have time to root. This is our life. The life we have is a hidden life. You cannot stay in the church life resting on your laurels. You cannot say, oh, I did this, I went to the training, I like that. Like, that is going to keep you. Hopefully, while you're in the training, nobody knew, but you got rooted. I encourage all of you who go to FTTA, spend that time to be rooted. Don't just be outward, but spend time with the Lord. And then there's another verse that is that's in Hosea. No, I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Can someone look at Jeremiah chapter 17, 7 and 8? Amen. Not be afraid when he comes. Right. Amen. Right. So we have the rooted life. We have this life is a tested life. And it's tested by all the environment. You know what? Let me tell you what else the test is. The test is, like it says here in Colossians, what? Don't be carried off as spoil through what? Philosophy. Through empty deceit. Don't be carried off through sports. World Cup. I don't hate World Cup. But I have to tell you, how much while we're watching World Cup are we being rooted in Christ? I don't have any problem with it. But I have to tell you, honestly, it's too easy to be caught up. And then all of a sudden, you know, we are not. Don't think it's always hard times. It could be some tradition. When I came in the church life, I gave up Christmas. I got persecuted. And I didn't hate Christmas. And I didn't hate people who practice Christmas, but I gave up Christmas. Why did I give up Christmas? I wanted to be in the training. I wanted to go out to California. Broly was giving a training. And I wanted to be there. And I tell you why, he was alive. You'd be crazy not to be there. Forgive me to say that. Right, Marty? Gave up it. We went because it was incredible. I mean, I don't know. If you would have went to the Revelation training, I was ready to, you know? It was incredible. It was amazing. We thought the Lord's coming back in a couple years. That's it. We're ready. We're done. When I was a young brother, I had to deal with giving up if I ever get married. I finally told the Lord, Lord, if I never get married, it's okay. I want you to come back. Come back anyway. I just wanted you to come back. If you never do this, you never do that, it's okay. Degree, marriage, all. I just want you to come back. Just want you. This is how much we got attracted to rooting in Christ. Whether we have this or we don't have that, it's okay. Because we have him. We have a hidden life. This is our true life. Our true life are not the things we do outwardly. Our true life is this Christ in us. We've been sown into him, and there is a rich soil that we go deep and deep and deep in. There's depths there. We all need to go deep sea diving in this rich soil. Go deep in it. If you don't have it, you will not be able to be here 5, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. The world with its afflictions are getting worse. You have no assurance about anything or anyone, but you do have this excellent Christ. And we are being rooted in him and being built up in him. And with the root, we are able to withstand everything. So we have certain weaknesses. You may not like the weaknesses you were born with, but have you spent time to discuss it with the Lord in depth until the Lord becomes your answer, until eventually you're satisfied that the Lord's heart toward you is good? Is the Lord's heart toward us good? But this is theoretically how real is that? In your rooting time, eventually the Lord gives you the answer. He gives you a clear feeling. I've had many experiences. I was discouraged. I was at a Wendy's. I was sitting there. I didn't even feel like eating a hamburger. I was just sitting there. And then the Lord just came to me privately while I was in Wendy's. Nobody there. The Lord told me something special. And that special word encouraged me. I was in Germany. I came back after hearing the life study of Philippians. Then I heard it again. And the Lord told me, when you come back to the U.S., there's only one thing I want you to do. That is to pursue and gain me to the uttermost. That is the one thing. That word took me through. I had no idea what was waiting for me back then. Problems, trials. Problems from who? Problems from brothers who claim that they are Brother Lee's co-worker. You see? Saints, situations, your job, school, trouble. Soon as you calm down, more trouble. Soon as one storm blows through, another storm blows in. Brothers who gave conferences about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Some of us remember, they're all gone today. What happened? I have to tell you honestly, this is what happens. Eventually, if you stop rooting, you will dry up. And you will have, and you will be the problem. This is where our life is. Don't think your life is with the church kids you know. They may not be here next year. If that's where your life is, I have to tell you honestly, that will not last. There's a brother sitting here. His parents were out of the church life 10 years. And I'm so thankful that this brother and his older brother, they went on. All of a sudden, Lord's Day morning, about 3 weeks ago, his parents had been out, are back here. Isn't that amazing? But I'm so thankful that those boys never left. What if your parents leave? They could. What if your buddies leave? Are you? Here, we need a lot of rooting. We need to be very hairy. A lot of root hairs coming out. Keep producing the hair. In a certain sense, in the brother's house, it's really difficult because I know a brother I was living with, he dropped hair everywhere. And it was just hard. We always knew where he was. You know? So in that sense, it's kind of funny. But I have to tell you, your roots should be very hairy. You should be producing new baby roots all the time. The only way you can do that is keep spending private, personal, intimate, secret. And I do mean secret. Nobody should ever know when you spend time with the Lord. The more it's like that, the more the Lord will meet you there. The more private it is, the more secret it is, the Lord will meet you there. And he will give you something to store up in the older roots. When the stress comes, when the bad weather comes, when the afflictions come, because Paul says, we were appointed afflictions. It will happen. Perhaps this year, afflictions will come. Sometimes bad health situation, it will come. But you know what? You can't control this, but you can, I dare say, control this. You can, Lord Jesus, You can pray. You can confess. I will tell you honestly, what will obstruct your developing new root hairs is being offended. If you're offended, it's very hard. Offenses are like rocks. Very difficult. You have to let go. Remember Brother Dick Taylor in the training says, keep short accounts. Let go fast. Don't be offended. Those offenses will be something that will just hinder you. Let it go. So many things, right? Confess. We should confess our sins very quickly and go on. Keep seeking the Lord. I can't emphasize this enough. I love all of you, and I know many of you, and but my big yearning is, are you going to be here? You know, when I was in the church life, I didn't even know if I was going to last a year. I thought if I make it 1 year, that is exceptional. And when I made it 1 year, I said, wow, I'm here for a year. Because I thought, there's no way I can stay in this place. These people are crazy. It is crazy. My parents think I'm insane. This is they didn't call it cult at that time. But they said another word was, it's this, it's that, you know, you don't do this, you don't date, you're weird. Everything you hear constantly. You know, you don't love your parents, you don't love that. The Lord knows. The Lord who saw in secret knows I love my parents. Eventually I had to take all the insults, all the insulting. But the Lord knows the real case. If you don't have much root, you will not be able to take the insults. You will not be able to take all the pressure. All the, you know what? All the bad reputation. I had a turning point when I was in high school because I was a bit popular then, and this one girl, bless her heart, wrote on, I told you my high school was like half Jewish, half Catholic, and it was interesting. They were all like, oh, it was something else. And she put on the bulletin board, if you want to ride to the Christian high school meeting, you know, contact Robbie Robinson. My name right there, like, I wanted to die. I went to my locker, kicked it. I said, Lord, this isn't fair. But then the Lord comes to me. But don't you love me? Haven't you enjoyed me? The Lord was just there at the locker while I was kicking. The Lord was there just warming my heart. That's real. I can't deny. I can't deny I've tasted him. I can't deny it. So that's it. Name's gone. Reputation gone. In like seconds, it's gone. And so who was I hanging out with at high school? That girl and her younger brother. Her younger brother was my best friend on the wrestling team. His sister, she was like, you know, something else, but interesting. But I was there with him. And so the girl that I thought was a bit homely a year ago, I was walking down the hall with her little brother and her the next year. Who could do this? You know, if the Lord is not real, what'd you do? Would you take that? And eventually you have no name, no reputation. In fact, I saw people at a 10-year high school reunion. They do not remember my senior year. I was there every day. I played football. They don't remember me. They only remember me when I was a junior. They don't remember my senior year because my senior year, I was in the church life. And at my high school graduation, Brother Bob Wilging, he was something else. He you know, these Jews and Catholic, they were all rich. And they were all just sitting there, polished at the high school graduation. And Janet goes up to get her diploma. And her father stands up, hey, Janet! And everybody turns around. And he says, praise the Lord! And Janet says, amen! And then all the Jewish and Catholic people were like, I mean, what else are they supposed to do? But you know what I'm saying? I mean, if there's nothing real, you can't take all that. The Lord put me in that situation. And all kind of things happen. So I have to tell you honestly, faithfully, this life is a rooted life, tested life, trusting. Let me tell you about trusting before I sit down. Blessed is a man who trusts in Jehovah. You will discover as you follow the Lord that you don't trust the Lord. You will discover that. I remember when Bro Lee shared this verse. He says, and whose trust Jehovah is. Eventually, the Lord himself has to become your trust. And I even prayed, Lord, become my trust. I told him, I don't trust you. I thought I trusted you. I've discovered I don't. Lord, become my trust in you. And this one is transplanted by a stream, a river, right? And the roots go very much where the water is. And outwardly, the storm comes, the persecution comes, but the leaves are green. You see? Eventually, everything with us remains the same. But outwardly, everything could be terrible. But we still are really in him. Praise the Lord. So I would encourage all of you, I hope you all are attracted to have personal, intimate time. I know it's difficult. I had to work on it. I had to keep hearing. Brother Lee would keep speaking about it. We eventually had to keep doing it. The brothers, all the co-workers keep speaking today. This is the most important thing. More than what we do is that we need to have our roots go deep, deep, deep in him. So I would encourage you, don't give up on your personal time. Don't give up on your private time. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, it's just you and me. I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to do, but I'm here. You know, Brother Nee said, even if your attitude is toward him, the Lord appreciates that. You may not even know what to say. I don't know what to say, but Lord, I'm here for you. I really am here for you. The Lord will honor that. Just start with that. Don't wait before you roll out of bed to have a morning revival. Have a morning revival while you're still there and to say, Lord, I'll wake up if you just touch me. Just open my ear. Say something to me. Right? I do love you. I'm tired, but I do love you. Talk to him. You know, eventually you talk to him enough, eventually you'll just sit up on the side of the bed. Eventually more, then you'll get up. Eventually you have the faith to go spend some further time with him. Blessed is the man who trusts in Jehovah and whose trust Jehovah is. May the Lord become our trust in him. I'll tell you one thing, a brother who was in pray to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. And then he went because he had a burden for some sister. He went and talked to the elders and everybody. Everybody felt good. Everything was good, 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 good. Eventually he got with the sister. She eventually accepted his proposal. And eventually the whole thing broke. And he's struggling today. Struggling with what? His prayer? He doesn't believe. Lord, I prayed. I felt good. I fellowshiped the brothers. I did everything right. I did everything by the book. And look what happened. We cannot promise you everything in your life is just going to work out fine. I will tell you, many things will not work out. But one thing is you can be rooted in him. We can spend time. Even I encourage you tonight, tomorrow, the rest of the training, to begin to consider to grow some new root hairs. Maybe the time we're done, we're very hairy. We have more hairs. And we have more absorption. And we have more of Christ in us that we have collected and contained and stored. Praise the Lord. This is so good. To be rooted, tested in the trusting life we have. This is a life hidden. This is not a life that people can see. And I agree with Marty in the word, don't show off. don't need to show anything to anyone. In fact, the more you're rooted, the more you will be very content that nobody knows anything. It is those who don't have much root who need to show. But when you have a lot of root, you're very happy and very content no matter what's going on. Amen. May the Lord encourage us all. Praise the Lord. Amen.